The Cap'n Haas Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Here he comes. He's going to try it. He's safe. Ball gets away.
And that's what you have to do is anticipate the ball in the dirt. And Adam Eaton just took off.
He was a heck of a pitcher, and you're not going to get in too many chances that with a man on third base there. And, you know, just trying to make something happen. I was probably out, you know, of course, if he held on to the ball, but sometimes you got to be aggressive and you know, try to make something happen. And, you know, it ended up in our favor tonight.
Adam Eaton, a humongous play last night, or that game ends 1-0. It's Cap and Haw. Mark Carmen in for David, who is out in California, covering the Blackhawks. He'll be back in here on Thursday. 312-235-2525. The White Sox and the Cubs. If you had to put money on one team to go to the playoffs right now, today, who you betting?
That's a tough one. That is a legit tough question from David Kaplan. If I was going to bet money, my less than considerable life savings on one team. Cubs? I say that with no conviction. I think maybe it's just a little bit of an easier path.
Why no conviction?
Because they're just so unproven and the rotation needs work. And there's no track record to go by right now. They're in the mix for the most part. And, you know, I assume they're going to be aggressive going forward, but don't really know that. White Sox are, you know, you're looking up at Detroit, you're looking up at Kansas City.
Sox are 4.5 back, but just 3 out in the loss column behind the Royals, 1 behind the Tigers in the loss column. I think Detroit's the best team in that division. I don't think Detroit or Kansas City is as good as the St. Louis Cardinals, but with the Cardinals losing Adam Wainwright for the year, a major, major loss. If I had to make a bet, and everyone out there will be, yeah, because you're a Cub fan, I would bet on the Cubs more than I would bet on the White Sox.
Because of who they're going up against? Is that your main reasoning?
That's A. B, they have a lot more in terms of youth and positional depth than I think the White Sox do. I think the Sox have question mark at second. Carlos Sanchez, who knows? Big question behind the plate. Not a huge Connor Gillespie fan.
He's okay.
So that's at least 3 questions for me. They have an elite closer, best closer in the city by far, David Robertson. Outstanding. They've got pretty darn good starting pitching when you add in Carlos Rodon to Samardzija, Sale, and Quintana. But Samardzija hasn't been great so far, and neither has Quintana.
Interesting stuff with Chris Sale, too, last night. You know, he had a great game, but came in last and lowered his ERA to 4.39. But it was over 5 to start. And there was some interesting stuff that came out about his slider, that last year was incredible and people couldn't hit it. And this year, it's been completely different, which I guess is a pitch that's hard for him to find, the old slider. Opponents went from putting in play 28% of the time it was put in play last year. This year, 44%.
You wonder if the foot injury that he suffered in spring training had any bearing on that, A. B, let's not forget he missed most of spring training. So he's going through spring training now. And it looks like he's like John Lester, rounding into form. 312-235-2525. If you had to make a bet in Vegas, one team's going to the playoffs, who are you picking? Cubs or White Sox? Nicholas in Lombard, you're first. Hey, Nicholas, how's it going there, buddy?
Good. All day with the Cubs because the Sox, I watched my first Sox game last night, and I bet Cleveland's overtake the White Sox. That Cooper was unbelievable. But all day with the Cubs because the Cubs are going for it this year. They're only a couple of pawns away from putting a real good team together. Jeremy Adams knows what he's doing, and they get that right pitcher or two that they need at the end to put him over the top. Then Baez is killing the ball down the minors. I think they should bring him up and put Bryant maybe in left field, and we'll be scoring 6 or 7 runs every day in the summer.
Appreciate the call, Nicholas. Yeah, I don't know if they'll be scoring 6 or 7 runs. What do you do with Javi Baez? That's a great question. He's playing much better. He's hitting near 300. Last 12 games, he's hitting well over 300. And it looks like he has settled his swing down a bit. What do you do with him? Do you put him at second, then what do you do with Addison Russell? Move him from second, where he's learning a new position, now back to short, and put Castro at third and Bryant in left. I mean, that's a lot of moving parts, man.
It is, but they're all talented young players who probably can learn a new position on the fly. My biggest concern, I guess, in that whole scenario is probably Chris Bryant going to left, but he was comfortable in center. It's a little bit harder playing the corners, but I would assume he'd be able to pick it up. By the way, the Cubs got right-hander Yoervis Medina from the Mariners.
What level was he at?
He's going to AAA. We'll pull up the numbers on a Yoervis Medina, but that's they got a right-handed minor league pitcher for a guy. There's interesting stuff coming out on Wellington Castillo and his pitch framing.
Yeah, they did not like his pitch framing abilities.
Mike Zunino, who's the Mariners catcher.
The number three pick overall in the draft.
Right, who can't hit, and even though he...
Hold on, he had 22 home runs as a rookie, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, he's hitting 199 for his career, 179 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Zunino last year, because there's a stat on everything, he grabbed 168 extra strikes with his pitch framing, okay? Castillo was second worst in the league. He created 183 extra balls. So you're talking about 351 pitches if you combine those two. Let me just ask you a question. Don't you think you could get behind home plate right now and frame a pitch?
How
hard is that?
Obviously, it's a lot harder than you realize.
I guess so. But you're sitting there. I'm going to sit in the outside corner. I'm going to move my mitt just a little bit off the plate. And it's going to hit it. It's going to look like it's right on the black. It just doesn't seem like it should be that hard. I get it.
But obviously it is.
Right. You wouldn't think that, though, without all these psycho people coming up with every single stat in the history of the baseball world. So 350 pitches, Mariners fans. Zunino was unbelievable at pitch framing. Castillo, bad pitch framer. Maybe that's why Miguel Montero is here at the end of the day. Help out the pitchers.
Because he's one of the best pitch framers in all of baseball. That's one of the things they loved about him. Plus, they felt like he was overused last year. He's been a two-time All-Star, certainly off to a very solid start. The trade looks like it's paying dividends.
No question. That was one of the...
But again, it is May 19th. That's all it is. May 19th. You got a lot of time. June, July, August, September. You got 4 months worth of games, my friend, and half of this month. It's a long, long way to go. By the way, happy anniversary to Philly G and, is it Patricia or Patrika? 24 years today. Happy birthday. Philly's been battling some health crisis, and is a loyal watcher of the show. So happy anniversary to the two of you. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come in the app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up, 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's app, A-B-T. App.com. Ask for the one and only Steve Shapiro. App pleasing people since 1936. Take a time out. Come right back. 312-235-2525. Bill Melton joins us in about 15 minutes.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast SportsNet.
Cap and Haw continues at Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus. Carmen for David, who's in Anaheim. Blackhawks and Ducks tonight, 8 o'clock. The face-off game two of the Western Conference Final. Question for you out there, 312-235-2525. You had to bet on one team to get to the playoffs, Cubs or White Sox? Who are you betting on from this point forward? White Sox have six straight wins. They are only, three games behind the Royals in the loss column, 4.5 overall. They've played three less games and just one game in the loss column behind the Detroit Tigers. So they are playing good baseball. They get a huge win last night. Big stuff for the Sox. For the Cubs, 6 out of 7 at home. Back to work tonight in San Diego. And if you missed the news this morning, they have traded Wellington Castillo to the Seattle Mariners for pitcher Yoervis Medina, who has pitched three seasons in the big leagues, He, in 12 innings this year, has given up 11 hits, a 3.00 ERA, and he is 1-0. So, you know, Cubs able to add another bullpen arm. He will be sent to AAA right now, but it is believed that shortly he'll be in the big leagues.
And his numbers last two seasons, impressive. I mean, 57 innings last year with the Mariners, 48 hits. That's good. Walked 28, a little bit high, but not terrible. Struck out 60. And he had 71 strikeouts in 2013, 68 innings, only gave up 49 hits. I mean, that's a fantastic ratio right there. That's what you look for.
Very good.
So, Cubs look like they got, and he's 26 years old, for a guy that they weren't using. And Wellington Castillo still has a decent chance to be an everyday catcher in the league. I think it makes sense for the Mariners, too.
He's not going to beat out Mike Zunino.
Mike Zunino might be headed to AAA, man.
Mike Zunino at some point, though, that is their future guy. He's the third overall pick. He had 22 home runs last year as a rookie. That is certainly the guy they're considering the future behind the plate.
Right, but they didn't factor in when they weren't hoping that it would go this way for Zunino. I think this is a pretty proactive move by the Mariners saying, listen, man, if you can't figure it out, well, we got ourselves a Wellington Castillo who can do the job. But that trade makes sense for, I think, on both sides. And Cubs are probably pretty happy with what they got, I would think. And I know we're going to have Jed Hoyer tomorrow, correct?
Correct.
So
Jed will be with us tomorrow. I do like the fact that the White Sox, when everyone thought, we talked about it on this show, who could manage the team? Is Robin going to get fired? What do they need to do? This team's not good. They get swept in Minnesota. From that point on, they have turned things around. Now, 6-game win streak gets them to 1 game over 500, but that... such an enormous shot in the arm when you look up and you're over 500 and you beat Corey Kluber.
Yeah. You got a 13-game hitting streak going on for Jose Abreu. You got Chris Sale rounding into form. You got Jeff Samardzija looking a lot better. You've got Avi Garcia, who, that was weird last night. He goes out after taking a walk in the 10th.
Yeah, I don't know who saw that. I was watching it, and it was like he grimaced. And I thought, is he just upset that he didn't get a chance to get a hit to get the game-winning opportunity? Or what the deal is? He lead-off walk in the 10th, and it was like, ah, what, do you think you're going to hit a home run there? And then he comes out of the game. You're thinking, you took a pitch. You got guys getting pucks in the face in the Stanley Cup playoff. They come right back out. He took a pitch.
You have no idea.
And had to come out. Said he tweaked his knee.
You have no idea how hard it is to stand in right field all day. When you're out there and you're on your feet for 3 hours, that's very difficult, David.
You get breaks. It's called the other half of the inning when you get to come in and relax.
That's true, but you have such a long way to travel and then to sit down, and then you have to get back up and then go back out there.
A lot of work.
You never know how long the inning's going to be. You might not be properly warmed up. A lot of factors here. On the truth side, White Sox need Avi to be okay. You know who was one guy they need to get going is Adam LaRoche. Now, he came in last night, 243, 0 for 4, a couple of Ks, did not look good. A lot of people didn't look good.
Hit into a big double play.
Into a huge double play. 229. He's got 38 strikeouts now and 109 at-bats, and this is a high strikeout guy. He's had over 100 the last three seasons. And he's still getting walks. I mean, he's on base is 360. But, getting a little bit up there. You're starting a little bit slow. At least myself, I'm wondering if LaRoche is going to find it anytime soon. They need Adam LaRoche in that lineup.
It's almost like they got rid of Adam Dunn and they added another Adam Dunn right back.
I mean, basically right now,
that's what he looks like.
Yeah.
Power bat, not hitting well, not a great player, but you got to think he comes off of, a 26 home run year last year. I mean, you got to think he's going to find it.
He's certainly not a guy who does anything in his life other than baseball, right? I mean, it's not going to be for lack of focus from an Adam LaRoche. He just reeks of a guy who's going to keep on working at it, and hopefully, he'll come into the...
find it and turn it around.
But he's had years where, he hits low 200s. The power numbers have always been there, and he strikes out a lot. So right now, it looks like that's the type of season you're going to get from him.
All right, now you came into the office. Did you ask Jacobson this sports ethics question?
No, I didn't, but I certainly...
I would love his opinion on this.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, Mike, put your headset on, buddy.
So last night...
Turn the score off and just listen to us for a second.
Wow.
Last night, Carmen's playing softball, okay?
Monday Night Softball League, huge game. That's not a huge game. And early in the game. You're going to love this, Jacobson. Bases are loaded. My team's up. Bomb to right center. Guy goes back, kind of around it, clearly drops the ball. Clearly, like scrambling for it. Umpire, out. Never stepped out.
He made the catch.
Never stepped out from behind home plate. My teammates go up to the ump. Are you out of your mind? I walked out basically to first base. Because it ended the inning. I walk out to first base. Guy's coming in. I go right up to him. Are you going to take that? Clearly you didn't catch it. Are you taking that? Looks me right in the eye. Yes, I'm taking that. And I just looked at him like, okay, opportunity for you to grow, opportunity for you to have some integrity, opportunity for you to be, this is a 21-year-old guy. Most of these guys are still in college. This is an opportunity for you to, right there in the old heart, man, do what's right. Yes, I'm taking that. I'm like, okay, lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you can to get ahead in life. Go ahead, pal.
So he asks me, do I think the guy was wrong? And I said, absolutely not. It's not his job to police the umpire. Umpire makes a bad call, you don't turn and go, it actually was a strike.
I just don't know. If it was me in right center, which is a fine position and one that I play often, I would have quickly picked up the ball and I would have fired it in. I wouldn't have picked it up off the ground and acted like I caught it.
Well, then you're a goof.
No, I'm actually an honest guy who's playing the game the right way.
No, that has nothing to do with honesty. That has to do with idiocy.
How would that be idiocy?
You play the game, you make him think you caught it, and if the ump buys it, big time. Good for you.
Yeah, it's not like Torrey Hunter's going to make a spectacular catch, and then he knows he didn't really make it, and he fell over the fence, and he's going to come back and show that he did make it. Why would you not do that?
Because you...
You are so out of your mind here.
There are more important things in life than a soft...
You play the game one way. You play it to win.
I'm not saying
you spike their water with Imodium so that they're going crazy. I'm just telling you, you try and sell it.
Listen, if it's an NBA player or whatever, a high school basketball player, and you're not sure if it's off you, that type of thing, and you try to sell it...
If you know you dropped it and you could sell it, you sell it.
Okay. I come from a land where it's better. I would sleep better with myself at night knowing that I played.
You would sleep because your teammates would beat you to death.
No, they wouldn't.
You're out of your mind.
No.
Jacobson, would you come up and go, yeah, I dropped that?
No, I wouldn't. But also, this is a softball game. So I understand where Carm's coming from, too, in terms of sports ethics. Ooh, sports ethics. But at the same time, I'm with Cap. If it came down to it, me, you got to pretend like you caught it.
It's not just sports ethics. It's life ethics. It's your own.
No, it's not. It's not your job to police the umpire.
When you're on the golf course, you play in winner rules. You kick in the ball into the fairway, and then you walk up the course. I shot a 78.
No, that's totally different.
How is that different?
There's no impartial arbiter of the rules there. Golf is a gentleman's game. You put on your honor there. Totally different. It'd be like Jermon Bushrod turning. That I held. Take that touchdown back. Are you kidding?
Holding is a lot different than whether or not you caught the baseball. And I don't know why ethics just apply to it because it's a gentleman's game. If you didn't catch the ball, pop back, right back up and throw it in. I didn't catch it.
He jumped up, made it. If anybody out there agrees with Carmen, 312-235-2525.
I'm trying to make
you're out of your mind.
I think I'm dead on, and I think that the world's a better place if we go by some form of integrity. Even in that moment, I know it sucks.
It has nothing to do with integrity. It has to do with stupidity. You try and sell it to the umpire.
I think it has everything to do with integrity. And I think it's...
Okay, hold on. Let me use your little basketball analogy.
Go ahead.
You're playing.
Yeah.
Ball gets knocked out of bounds, and they call it your way. You're getting it, and you know it went off your foot. You turn to the referee and go...
I do it.
Yes.
That's correct.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not playing for cash. I'm playing for me. In a rec league game... Sunday afternoons up in whatever suburb I'm playing. Yeah, that's right. I'll be honest.
You're ridiculous.
I don't do it all the time, but when I do it that way, when I am honest, I feel better about myself all day.
We'll ask Bill Melton that question and get to your calls. Phone lines are lit up. 312-235-2525. We'll be right back.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Well, it was everything as advertised with both guys. They threw great. Kluber was fantastic through the first couple. I mean, it didn't look good with the strikeouts that were piling up. But, you scratch and claw and find a way. And I think Chris just stayed with it and, ended up matching him. Once they got that run, and we got one back with Adam having a hustle play that, you feel like you can hold it down and, scratch one out at the end. And, you finally do that. Bullpen did a nice job, too.
There's Robert Ventura on Chris Sale, the victory. Huge win for the White Sox. Anytime you show up at work and you're facing Corey Kluber, who's filthy, I don't care who you're throwing out there, and they threw their best in Chris Sale. When you can go home that night and you've got another W and you've won six straight and you've completely turned your season around, that's an enormous victory. Belton, Bill Melton, Comcast Sportsnet, does great work with Chuck Garfine on the White Sox pre and post. Had a longtime standout career in the big leagues. Belton, Bill, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Cap? How you doing, Mark?
Good, Bill. Doing very well. So the game last night, Corey Kluber is just dirty. That breaking stuff is virtually unhittable. Sox find a way to beat him or to win that game. How important was that victory in the big picture so far here early?
Well, I look at the other side. It's just as hard to hit Chris Sale if you're a left-handed hitter as it is to hit Kluber if you're a right-handed hitter. That's the matchup you get. You get the top Cy Young Award winner and the number three in the Cy Young voting in Chris Sale. And you knew right from the beginning that the way Chris threw his last game when he had 11 strikeouts that, he was going to have a back-to-back good game. Now, Kluber, forget those records. That's what I hate about looking at records, because you look at him coming into Chicago at 1-5, you go, he had a good game last time, but he's – guy's 1-5, but as far as right-handers, he was just in total control. It's an unhittable slider. Like Sales is an unhittable slider for left-handers. He's pretty unhittable for right-handers. He pitched really well. But when you get 30 Ks in a couple of games, that's impressive stuff.
What are you seeing from Avi Garcia, Bill, where he's just been that good? Is there anything you can pinpoint in an improvement from last year? Not that he wasn't great before, but something seems to be even further down the road for Avi.
No, he's just, he was 22 last year. He just turned 23. Every week, you find something different that he does good. Every week you find something poor when he's at the plate. I think the thing he has to do as a young hitter, like most young hitters, is make adjustments. In other words, see how fast you're making adjustments. If you were to look at the Abreu last year, the thing that stood out the most was the fact that, did he swing at bad pitches like he did last night? Yes, he did that last year too. But within a couple of games, he stopped swinging at those pitches and started waiting for his. And I think that's what Javi's doing each and every time. He's a lot younger than Abreu and probably not as advanced, but tremendous power. He hit a ball in Milwaukee with one hand. I almost fell out of my chair. It's not that easy to hit him that far, but he's got all the tools. And again, he's going to have bad weeks, and pretty soon there may be just bad series, and then pretty soon you might cut it down just a bad couple of days.
Bill, when you looked at where the team was 2.5 weeks ago to where it is today, 2.5 weeks ago, we're getting call after call. Got to fire Robin. Go get Ron Gardenhire or Ozzie Guillen. This guy stinks. That guy's struggling. They have no defense. And all of a sudden, a six-game winning streak later, everybody's back on board. Were you as negative or as down when the team was struggling as the fan base was?
Yeah, because when you come off of the last couple of years and you look at last year and then all the improvements they made in all the right areas, they addressed better than 90% of what their problems were last year. And then you looked at that pitching staff, and when you get Samardzija, you got three pretty good pitchers. So what you're saying to yourself is you're never going to go in and lose a series. You got a better chance with good pitching, not hitting. But I didn't think the hitting would go that far south. I thought we had enough new blood in there and a lot of different players. And, with Cabrera and left, a better defensive player out there, obviously, right field, and I never you run like that. So, yeah, it was a big disappointment, only for the fact I thought I just wanted to stay around 500 for a while. And we were starting to slide down. We were losing games defensively, which is something that they had lost all training, poor defense. A lot of stuff doesn't show up, and, you know, errors show up, but the mental mistakes were just unbelievable. And I was like, wow, how can this be happening again? And, yeah, we were pretty negative and down on this whole thing. And knowing that when the weather warms up, you can overcome a lot of this with a lot of offense, but we weren't getting it. And, you know, even look at today. We're not hitting the amount of home runs we're very capable of doing, where we can hide some of these mistakes. So I look for this team now, 500 is a big – it's a nice target, and I think it's an important target. But I think right now I want to see maybe a little more offense out, a little more power out of it. It's not so much everybody hitting 300. But, we got to win some games with home runs. That's how this ball club is built.
Hey, Bill, Corey Kluber set an Indians record. He struck out 18 and didn't walk anybody in his previous start, and then last night he goes for 12. He's right there stat-wise with Bob Feller. Bob Feller and Corey Kluber, somehow that doesn't add up for
me.
Yeah,
his numbers the last two starts, 17 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 30 Ks, and an 0.53 ERA, yet he's only got one win because he couldn't beat you guys last night.
Well, there was another guy, too, that I faced in 68 by the name of Louis Tion. I think he struck out 30 guys in two games also. So I think he's in that record with Bob Feller. But those are just, those are guys that just had nasty stuff. And, that's what Kluber has. This was the guy they picked up in a trade. I don't remember what the trade was, but what a find for the Cleveland Indians. But, when you bring a guy like that, and I think this guy tonight, Bauer, is another guy, another young right-hander that's really, really tough. And I think the Indians have improved their bullpen. Last year they improved it, and they improved their starting staff. But you can see their starting staff is kind of fumbling out of the gate also. And, the Indians went to the playoffs. They beat the White Sox. We were 17-2. Was there a record against the Sox that probably catapulted them right into the wild card. But they do have a lot better pitching staff than a lot of people give them credit for. And that record, they got some guys that really throw well out there, and their bullpen is pretty solid. And Terry Francona is one of the better managers in the game. So I'm happy that they're way under 500.
That trade, by the way, Padres yeah. trade Corey Kluber to the Cleveland Indians July 31, 2010, in a three-team deal between the Padres, Indians, and Cardinals that sent Jake Westbrook from Cleveland to St. Louis, Ryan Ludwig from St. Louis to the Padres, and Corey Kluber to the Cleveland Indians. Boy, did that deal work out well.
Well, it worked out well, but it looks like it worked out for most of the clubs, doesn't it? I didn't follow the other two guys. Don't you think that trade probably benefited the need? So you always have to look at what's the need of the club that's on the raw end of the deal. You always got to ask what their need was. Because, sometimes there's a guy that can't break into a rotation. That was probably Kluber, but you got to credit the scouts, whoever spotted him, and then, putting the deal together. Trades are only good when everybody benefits. I mean, not everybody's going to be on the raw end of the deal. They make trades to try and improve their club and their shortage that they have. And that's, some of them turn out to be really gems. And I'll tell you right now, with Kluber, That's about as filthy as stuff as you can get. So that's a pretty good deal for the Cleveland Indians.
We're talking to Belton Bill Melton from Comcast Sportsnet. Bill, I was looking up, you mentioned Louis Tion. He had a game where he faced Nolan Ryan. Ryan threw 240 pitches. Tion threw 190 they opposed each other. When you see numbers like that, and now you go 85 to 100 pitches and you're a horse and you throw 200 innings and, oh, my goodness, why has the game changed so dramatically, in your opinion?
Well, it changed because they started going like the Raleigh Fingers. They started going to the bullpen and the Goose Gossage, with Catfish Hunter and those guys with the Oakland A's. Those guys were primed out of them, coming up out of the minor leagues to finish games. They weren't power pitchers. They were good pitchers and smart pitchers, but, they saved some of their energy, like Jim Palmer, another Hall of Famer. When I faced Palmer numerous times, I never saw that good slider or that good fastball until it was men in scoring position. When there was a man in scoring position on second and third, you usually struck out or he got you on a tough slider. But if you went out there with nobody on, you got an opportunity to see a lot of pitches to hit. I think this is the way they groom them in the minor leagues to say. Now most guys are, you know, hard. They throw a lot harder now, and they just throw for five or six innings. If they thought they had to work their way through a game, I don't think you'd see as many power pitchers. But now the specialty is in the bullpen. It's really a five-inning.
I think we lost Bill on his cell. We just lost him. So that's Bill Melton from Comcast Sportsnet. It's amazing as I go through what guys did, the pitch counts. You had guys throwing 320 innings.
Different training back then, Cappy. More, you know, the arm was
okay,
used to.
Okay, so if you took over a team right now and you decided, I'm going to train my guys to be able to throw 250 to 300 innings, could you do it?
I don't think you could.
Why? Human body changed?
Well.
Right arm changed? Left arm changed?
Listen, too much money on these guys nowadays. It's just too big of a risk to let some pitchers go out there and throw those type of innings when you're paying them $20, $25, $30 million
okay,
a year.
So you take them out, and then you get some garbage reliever in there who gives it up.
It's the game today, man. Got to move forward, Cap. There's no sense in living your life in the past. You do things, you know, you eat your kale, you do all the good things in life. We're not going back to those days, man. There's no four-man rotation. If there's anything, it's going to be a six-man.
That would be awful.
It might happen. I get it.
We baby our athletes too much.
It's not about babying. It's about the dollars. End of the day, you pay Corey Kluber or whatever, John Lester, $150 million for 6 years.
He's different because he's hadn't been trained that way. He's 31 years old. I'm talking about you draft some kid in the 43rd round. He's 17 years old. Why not train him from that point? You haven't put any money into him.
Okay. You could do that experiment, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, general managers, they're also protecting themselves, and managers the same way. So if you get a reputation that you run kids into the ground, blow out their arms, your longevity in baseball is going to be compromised. People, you know, they want to work. They want to be there.
All right. We've got some phone lines to get to. We do want to talk about this Illinois burgeoning scandal.
You're also getting going killed on there. You're getting killed on the text line for your integrity. Know that.
No, I'm not. Because I'm looking at my Twitter feed and you're getting destroyed. The Illinois Craft Brewers Guild is proudly celebrating the 6th annual Chicago Craft Beer Week. Hashtag CCBW now through Sunday. Each year, Chicago comes together and celebrates 11 days of local craft beer. This Saturday, it all culminates. The city's largest craft beer party in the park, hosted within beautiful Wells Park. Wells Park, a huge 15-acre park located in the heart of Lincoln Square at Lincoln and Montrose. Chicago Craft Beer Week features over 90 venues with 400-plus events in 77 Chicago neighborhoods. Create your own CCBW schedule at Chi, that's C-H-I, beerweek.com. ChiBeerWeek.com. If you're into craft beer, you'll love this week-long celebration. You'll find out some sampling of delicious craft beers. All sponsored by Goose Island, All Rise Brewing, Red Eye Chicago, Revolution Brewing, Draft Magazine, McCarb, Lagunitas, and Lakeshore Beverage. What? What are you two laughing at?
It's not nudis. Lagunitas. Where are you getting nudis? Where's the...
It's Lagunitas.
That's what I said.
Lagunitas?
You said something different.
He said Lagunitas.
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 Whatever it is, it's not Lagunas.
I said Lagunitas. Lagunitas.
San Diego, San Diego.
It's one of the new hip beverages out there, Cap. Get involved.
And Lakeshore Beverage. Whatever. And I saw the truck going down the street the other day. What is it? Lagunitas.
That's right.
Whatever. Take a timeout, 312-235-2525. If you want to weigh in on Carmen's ridiculous stupidity in softball, we'll get to that too.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Physical game last night with the Wizards and the Bulls. Those two teams don't like each other. Nene hitting on Noah going down the lane. Here's Tiff.
What? Thank you, Mikey.
I mean, for all the great
welcome
things
to my life,
for all
guy
the
I got to work with today.
It's
Mark Carmen, I'm David Kaplan. Mark's in for David Haw, who's in California covering the Blackhawks and the Ducks. 312-235-2525. Ty Cobb on Twitter says, hey, Cap, it's pronounced Lagunitas. Lagunitas. Fantastic craft beers like Little Something and Hop Stupid, to name a few.
There you go. Jump in.
Also, I'll save it for page two. I got something good for page two. Kevin in Old Town. Hey, Kevin.
Hello?
What's up, Kevin? You're on the air there, buddy.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm going to get off unless you call me Sparkles. I'm a little jealous.
You got it, Sparkles. Bring it on.
No, listen, you guys got the best show on, bar none, the best national sports show nationally. You
Thank
guys
you.
Do a great job.
Thank you.
And by the way, that is a great craft beers they have. I love David, but Carmen is a great standing, doing a great job.
Thank you.
Now, Cap, while I usually agree with you, Carmen is 100% totally right.
Thank you, Kevin.
On this one. You guys, and I'll let you go because I know you got other calls and stuff, but I really do enjoy your show. And again, Cap, I usually agree with you. But what's that thing, that old Ditka, that man in the mirror thing? Remember that quote? From?
Yeah, the man in the mirror. Yeah, I remember all that. I'll have to bring that up. Kevin, we will agree to disagree, but you have a good day, buddy.
Okay, hey, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
See you there, Sparky. 312-235-2525. Again, to reset the question that I posed to you, the listener, at 312-235-2525, Mark was playing in a competitive softball league last night. Not just a bunch of guys out playing, a competitive league. Guy he's playing against in right field went to make an excellent catch, didn't make the catch, came up with the ball and showed it, and the umpire bought it hook, line, and sinker and called it the third out of the inning.
Literally everybody in the entire park and those across the street knew that he didn't catch it except for the umpire. Go ahead.
And Mark feels that the guy should have come forward and said that he dropped it. I think you're completely insane.
If it was me in right center field on that play, I would have picked up the ball and I would have fired it into the infield.
Jeez Louise.
Because I knew that I didn't
catch. Thanks, Fitz.
And by the way, the man in the glass is what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
When you get what you want in your struggle for self and the world makes you king for a day, just go to a mirror and look at yourself and see what the man has to say. You got to look in that mirror, man, see what the man has to say.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you had picked it up and whipped the ball in.
Yeah.
And the umpire's going like this, out, giving the out sign, would you have gone, no, I didn't catch it?
Yeah, I would have said disgustingly, I didn't catch it, and I would have turned my back and walked back to my position. That's correct. If I was living the way I want to live. I'm not saying I'm perfect where sometimes I know I'm getting the benefit. I always
what
feel worse.
What if it's the same thing and Jorge Soler comes diving in, and the umpire calls it out, and he's like, nah, I didn't catch it.
When you get to the professional level, okay, now we're getting into a way murkier of a land.
You live your life way one code.
Well then... All right, at the end of the day...
Should Jorge Soler have said,
catch it? If Jorge Soler knew that he didn't catch the baseball, yeah. I'm in favor of him firing it. I hate watching players who know damn well, NBA or whatever, they know the ball is off them, and they try to sell it. Always trying to sell it. LeBron does it all the time. Noah does it. I'm not going to...
That's correct. That's how you play the game.
That's how the game is played.
That's
not how you play the game.
It's not my job to do his job. He does his job, the umpire.
Your job is also not to deceive the umpire. If you know, both guys are going for the ball on a tip and you're not sure, okay, fine, sell it. That's fine. If you know within 100% no doubt, live your life the right way, man.
That has nothing to do with how you live your life.
It has everything.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
I disagree. What's more important in life? Winning and losing or your own, the man in the mirror, man? Seriously.
Shut up.
There's no comparison. Come on, Mark. That's just stupid.
Why is that stupid? Listen.
It's not my job to police the umpire
or
the referee.
I'm not asking you to police the umpire. I'm asking you to play the game. The ball's hit to you. You're in the outfield. Uh-huh. You dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is not to...
And I can come up with it like this, and there's no instant replay, and the umpire goes, you're out. I'm not going to turn and go, hey, man, I dropped it. No!
You're going to teach your kids, hey, You could see, what happens if you're a little league coach? You got a 10-year-old out in left field.
He won't have the concept of selling it to the umpire.
Of course he will. He's a 10. These kids, are you kidding? 10, 11, 12, you know. You're not a baby. How are you going to teach that?
Really? So should A.J. Pierzynski in the 05 playoffs, when the ball clearly did not hit the ground, have turned and gone, nah,
I mean, not, see, it just it's a little grayer for me when you get to Major League Baseball, when everybody's on God knows what, and there's it's so much. I mean, I don't look at that game in the least bit as pure. I still don't.
Okay. Jacobson's playing right field for, where'd you go, Crystal Lake Central? Woodstock?
Schaumburg High School.
Schaumburg High
School. Star.
Okay. Schaumburg High School. Two outs in the last inning. There's a man on. His team is up one run. There's two men on. There's a line shot to right field. He comes in. He dives. He rolls over. The ball's on the ground. He quickly scoops it up. You're out. Game over, and Schaumburg wins the state title. Or he can roll over again. Nah, I didn't catch it. Two runs score, and pick a school. Chicago Westinghouse is now the state champ, and he says, I didn't catch it.
You don't.
His teammates would beat him within an inch of his life, and they'd be right.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. And Mike Jacobson should stand there and say, hey, man, I didn't catch it. I'm not living my life that way. If you don't deserve to win the game because you didn't catch the ball, then you shouldn't win the game.
It's not your job to police the umpire.
I'm not asking you to police the umpire.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Umpire made the call. It's not my job to tell the umpire he's wrong.
If Mike Jacobson or anybody else didn't catch the ball, be it in any game, come up and play it the right way. Throw the ball in.
No shot.
Don't do it. I caught it. No, you didn't. I mean, then next inning, the ball hit. They hit one right to me. I caught it up here, and then I just held it up.
Ridiculous. Fred in Indiana. Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. What's up?
I really like this topic today. The one thing is that I did honestly see, and Mark hit it, because it's all about money now. If you go back 20 years ago, especially when Jordan played, when a lot of the players played that we really enjoyed watching play, who something would happen when it wasn't, how do I want to put it? When they know they were wrong, other than being right, and they would just run down the court. You know, they wouldn't stand there and argue. They wouldn't be little babies about it. It's the integrity of the game and how the guy wants to live the game, I think. I mean, maybe that sounds a little much, but the athlete of today's terrible. I mean, they're just terrible, you know. And I think it all runs side to side. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I enjoy your show. You guys are great.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Fred.
It's one of the things that bothers me the most about LeBron. You're talking about a physical guy with huge edges all over the place, yet he's up, he's flopping. He's doing everything he can to always get a call. Just play it the right way, man. You don't need to do that stuff. You diminish yourself when you go that route.
I disagree. 312-235-2525. You won't win this one. CJ in Chicago, Mike in Chicago, Scott in Naperville. We'll get to them coming up. Next, it's Cap and Haw, Mark in for David. Be right back.